At the Republican National Convention a couple weeks ago, maybe you tuned in, Vice President Mike Pence gave a speech filled with love for God and for his country. But he came under some fire with some Christians. Now, the right always comes under fire from the left, and the left always from the right, but he came under fire from Christians for saying this. I'm going to read his quote. I'll put it up there for you. He said toward the end of his speech, "Let's run the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on old glory and all she represents. Let's fix our eyes on this land of heroes and let their courage inspire. And let's fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith." So those were Mike Pence's words. And of course, he's referencing Hebrews chapter 12. Very famous passage. Good one. I'll read that to you. I'll put them both up there to compare. Where the author of Hebrews writes, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." That's a great passage to be sure. But Mr. Pence's critics, this is why he came under some fire, they say that he literally replaced Jesus with the U.S. flag, with Old Glory. That was the critique. I've seen it with friends online and had some discussions myself with people. Why did he do that? Now, it's important to note, he did end with final focus on Jesus, who is indeed the author and perfecter of our faith. And as I've seen from, I haven't met the man personally, but just judging from his work, his life, his own testimony, time and time again, I do believe that Pence is a devout Jesus follower. All right? As far as I can tell, I think there's a lot of evidence. But did he blur a line? Did he blur a line here between love for God and love for country? Do patriotism and Christianity, do they always overlap? Or do they sometimes intersect, but sometimes diverge? That's the question we're going to look at today. Way on the other side are these rioters that we've been reading about and seeing terrible images in cities around our country. I'm not talking about the peaceful protests. I'm talking about beyond that, the rioters, people chanting, "Down with America," and actively pursuing tearing down America by setting buildings on fire, bullying people, calling for the defunding of our police force, calling for leaders to resign, and even demanding people to give up their own homes, move out and give them away, they say. They believe America is inherently wicked, and the only solution is for her to be rebuilt as a completely different nation. That's what they would say. Can a Christian be a part of that crowd here in America? Well, today's message is entitled, "Can I Really Be for God and Country?" Do these things really square up? I want to read a quote from a famous baseball player, but even more famous evangelist, Billy Sunday, back in the early 1900s. He said, "Christianity and patriotism are synonymous terms. Some Christians say it's not just a civic duty to love and support America, it's our Christian duty to do so." They point to the passage that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13. It goes like this: "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." That's scripture. That's the word of the Lord. And so we might say, well, case closed, right? Paul taught us, submit to the government, be for them, support them. Well, not so fast. Let's remember the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was executed by Rome, by the Roman government, along with many Jesus followers, not to mention our Lord himself, executed as rebels against Rome. Jesus claimed to be king. His followers confessed Jesus is Lord and Savior, not the emperor. You were supposed to say Caesar was Lord and Savior. They said, no, Jesus is Lord and Savior. And so Paul taught us to respect the authority of government, but his example also teaches there is a time to even die for opposing our government, our country. When it comes to remaining faithful to our King Jesus, that's when it's time to even lay down our own life in opposition. Our main idea today is this. We're going to talk about it the rest of our time together, so write it down now, and we'll keep talking about it. It goes like this: live out allegiance to Jesus to best serve your country. It's important for a main idea to be simple. It's simple, and you might read that and say, well, yeah, that makes sense, that's true, but in our daily lives, we lose focus on this important truth that we need to live out our allegiance to Jesus to best serve our country. Our country is best served by us if we're living in allegiance to Jesus. It's not about the right or the left. If we want what's best for America, we need to live for Christ. He is what's best for our country. I think if you're here this morning, you probably agree with that. I haven't lost you yet. We'll see as we go. You think you're on thin ice, Chris, with the topic. Well, that's all right. I don't mind being on thin ice as long as I'm following the Lord. Well, what does allegiance look like? That's the question. I lost my main idea, but you've already written it down. What does allegiance to Jesus look like? Well, let's talk about that. We'll start by looking at what it means to have pledged allegiance to Jesus. Allegiance to Jesus means, number one, that you're a citizen of heaven. Write down heaven. To the Philippian Christians, Paul wrote a letter to the Christians in Philippi, and he said this in his letter: our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul reminds these Christians in Philippi that they might be Roman citizens from Rome's perspective, but first and foremost, from heaven's perspective, they are heaven citizens first. And their King Jesus will be arriving one day to set everything under his rule. One day, the whole world will be in submission to Jesus' rule. But we're already to be in submission to his rule as we live here as citizens of heaven. Dr. Michael Brown, he leads the Ask Doc Brown Ministries. That's one of the mission organizations that our church supports. He said this in his In the Line of Fire program. You can check it out if you look at the back issues. It's called, here, I'll read the title just so you've got it, The Difference Between Patriotism and the Kingdom of God. You can look it up for the full. I'm going to summarize some of the things he said here. Very, very good episode of his program. He notes that America is different than ancient Rome. I mean, we're talking about two different types of countries here, okay? We can't say that America is like the Roman Empire, because the Roman Empire was a pagan, idol-worshipping nation that was hostile toward Christians. At one point, the emperor of Rome was setting Christians on fire to light the city streets at night, okay? We're talking about two different countries. The United States, on the other hand, was founded largely on Judeo-Christian principles, with religious liberty prioritized. That is an original priority in this country, that we're free to worship. Despite often being unfaithful to these founding principles, we have been unfaithful to them, and our corrupt practices have often contradicted these principles. Things like slavery, that's a direct contradiction to the principles that we founded this country on. Things like racism, things like abortion. We've contradicted our own principles, but I know Christians, we're always hoping that that original foundation, these Judeo-Christian principles, will win out. We're always praying and hoping for the best for our country, that's for sure. But we also need to recognize that we're not a theocracy. This is not a theocracy where Christianity is mandated to everybody. No, and we need to be careful, Dr. Brown says, to not treat America like we're the new Israel from the Old Testament. Like now, you know, the way that Israel was the people of God, now that's America. He says, be careful. Because the U.S., we've led the world with American exceptionalism in so many good ways. It's true. We've got reason to be proud of that, how America has helped shape the world in many good ways. But, guys, we also lead the world in sin in so many ways. You don't have to look very far to see America leads the world in sin in a lot of ways. And so what you want to write down in your outline to summarize this idea here is that it's just bad theology. It's false to say that America is the new promised land. This has been taught in Christian circles throughout history, even before, back when we were just the 13 colonies. This kind of idea was in our theology, but it's bad theology. It's not only false, though, it's dangerous because it leads to a pride that our country can do no wrong. Everything we do is golden, and that's arrogance, that's pride. What's true, what Scripture teaches is that all Christians have been grafted in with the people of God worldwide. All Christians have been grafted in to the people of God worldwide. Scripture teaches about Gentiles, that's non-Jewish folk, like me, like I think probably most of you are not ethnically Jewish, that we've joined in with the Jewish people as we all follow Christ together. Paul writes it like this in Ephesians. He says, through Jesus, you can help me out when we get to the yellow print here, through Jesus we both, Jews and Gentiles alike, have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. That's who you are if Jesus is your Lord. While many of us Americans are certainly Christians, America is not, as a country, the people of God. And we need to recognize that. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. Jesus' followers are the people of God. Jews and Gentiles alike, as they follow the Messiah, are the people of God. But even citizens of heaven, we're not exempt from sin here on earth. We shouldn't get prideful or puffed up either. Well, we're the people of God, so we're better than everybody else. No, God forbid we strike that attitude. No, Scripture, for example, when we read about God's promise to Israel, that this gets quoted a lot when we're praying for our nation and for her to be healed and for God's grace on our nation. We often pray this out and claim this promise from God. It's God speaking when Solomon's temple was dedicated in ancient Israel. And you know these words, I'll read them to you. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now this principle, again, originally these words were spoken to ancient Israel. It was about them turning in repentance to God and him healing their country, Israel, when they would turn to the temple and mourn over their sin. And he did so many times. They would keep rebelling and coming back. Just read the Old Testament and you'll see it again and again. This principle, though, of repenting and it leading to God's grace and mercy, well, of course, that can be applied to any nation. Our God is a gracious God, and if we do repent and turn to him and humble ourselves, he will heal us. But the my people in this, it doesn't mean America. It doesn't mean Americans. It's originally the Israelites, and now in Jesus, Gentile Jesus followers have been grafted in, and so we're the ones. You, if you're a Jesus follower, and me as a Jesus follower, we're the ones that need to humble ourselves. They need to repent, they need to seek God, they need to turn from our wicked ways, my wicked ways. I need to do that if I want to see God's forgiveness. But what an opportunity, what a privilege, a real privilege we have as citizens of heaven to be able to turn back. That even when we stray, even when we mess up, even when we sin, because of what Jesus has done to save us, we have the opportunity to turn back to him. In repentance, in humility, so that we can be revived, so that God will be glorified, so that Jesus' kingdom will be advanced around us. This isn't a boast, this is about being humble. If you're a citizen of heaven, don't look at your country first and see what's wrong with it. Look at yourself, look deeply within, and ask, where do I need to humble myself? Repent, turn away from my wickedness, and turn to Jesus. Turn to him now. Your repentance, my repentance, is what's best for our country as citizens of heaven. Our allegiance to Jesus also means, the next thing you want to write down, is that you are a foreigner in this world. We were just told in this last scripture verse, or a couple ago, that we're not foreigners. Well, we're not foreigners to God's kingdom. We're citizens in God's kingdom. But we are a foreigner in this world. Now, I migrated into the United States. Maybe I'm letting you know some news here. I migrated into the United States as a young boy from Canada. This isn't me as a young boy. You're like, you look 35 when you were born. That's crazy. This is me at a trunk or treat after I became an American citizen, and now I'm dressed up as a Canadian. See, it was kind of a joke the year I became a citizen. But anyway, 5 years ago, I did the work to become a citizen of this country. For many years, I lived here as a legal resident alien. But from heaven's perspective, the way that we should ultimately see it, no matter where we live on this earth, I'm still a resident alien. I really am. That's my Canadian mom, proud of me. She was holding the American flag. I never thought I'd see that. She was actually a little teary, too, you know, that I did that. But I love her. I love her. She's still in Canada. For many years I was a resident alien, but now I still am. I still am. And so are you. If you're a Jesus follower, if he's your king, you're a citizen of heaven, therefore a foreigner in this world. The Apostle Peter writes it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles," we're exiles and foreigners, okay, "to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul, and to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong," they're seeing some big-time persecution here when Peter was writing these, "though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us," when Jesus returns. In the truest sense, from God's perspective, America is not our home, guys. We're outsiders. Ever since we entered into Jesus' kingdom, we became outsiders when we placed our trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Peter tells us that we have a job to do, though, while we're here. We represent the kingdom of God by living godly lives among the people of this country, the people of this world, so that even if they're against us, even if it gets really crazy, and I know that there's some persecution happening in America, I know that, but it's not what these guys were facing that Peter wrote to. And so if they can live godly lives no matter what's being thrown at them, certainly we need to. And he says we do it so that they may end up glorifying God. People may come to Christ. And when he returns, they will give glory to God. They'll see that these foreigners in this country were right all along. These foreigners in this world from heaven, they were right all along when Jesus returns. Before I was a U.S. citizen, I deeply appreciated this country. I worked here, paid taxes, enjoyed freedom and opportunity, even was registered for the draft as a senior in high school. But there was always this thought that I might move back to Canada. It was my birthplace. Could be my home again one day. Maybe I'd move back there. But when I decided to become a U.S. citizen, I consciously made a decision that this is my home country. I'm staying put here in America. Now I can vote. I've even served on jury duty. I think it was a week and a half after I was sworn in as a citizen, I got my jury duty notice. I thought, wow, did I ever get myself flagged here? Yeah. For me, there's a great attachment, a real patriotism for this country, but all of that is dwarfed in comparison to my allegiance to Jesus. It really is, and I'm not one bit ashamed to say that. From heaven's perspective, I'm still a resident alien. My allegiance is to Jesus first and forever, as he's placed me in this country at this time to do what he wants me to do until he returns or calls me home. President Trump's platform says America first, and that should be the case for any leader of a country. They should put their country first. If you work at GM, where's my Don Weaver at? There he is. You're not in the business of building, promoting, and selling Ford vehicles. You put GM first in your position at work. Yeah, of course. Any country, any organization, and that's fine. But Christians of every nation are commanded by our King Jesus to put God's kingdom first. That's what's best for America. It really does help America most. Our King himself said it, Matthew 6:33, but seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Oh, I missed a very important operative word. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things, he's talking about all the things we might worry about in life. That's the context here. All these other things we might chase after and worry about will be given to you as well. You'll be taken care of by your King. Your King will take care of you if you seek his kingdom first. The other concerns for social security, health care, jobs, schooling, all of these things, important things, but they fall far second place after putting God's kingdom first. And so what does that really mean? Well, what do you mean, Chris, by put God's kingdom first? Well, I'm glad you asked, as Randy would say when he asks his own question that he plans to answer. Allegiance to Jesus, this is the third thing on your outline, means you are on a mission from your King. The mission is first. I said, as foreigners, we're here for a reason. God hasn't called you home yet or me home yet. And so he's got a purpose. Our King has us on this planet and this country for a reason, to live for him and his purpose. And that purpose is the Great Commission. That purpose is the Great Commission. These are Jesus' marching orders to his church. And I don't mean an organized institution church. I mean the collection of his people. God's people is the church. And this is what he said to us. In Matthew 28, it reads, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, he's the King of Kings, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Oh, there's some water here. Look at that. Hashtag no COVID. I know you cough and you are all like, is he 6 feet away from me? I get it. That's all right. No, that's just dry talking throat. All right. This is the mission, the Great Commission that Jesus has us here to do. We're not just here to enjoy the scenery, take in the local culture in America while we're here, just until he calls us home, we're passing through, no big deal. No, not at all. The King of Kings has sent out his citizens with a mission. You think socialism is trying to take over America? Jesus has sent you and me into America to change it way more radically. We've been sent to change America way more radically. Not by instituting theocratic law, but by making more and better followers of Jesus. That's the mission. This mission includes, and you want to write some of these down to help us understand this mission, it includes invading the enemy's kingdom. Jesus said, in his ministry, he came to ransack the devil's kingdom. He came in to steal back what the devil had already stolen and to take it back for his glory. If we said America is not the people of God, so whose people are they? Well, Scripture teaches the nations of the world are under the control of the evil one. That's Scripture that teaches that. That's not my opinion looking around, though you might come to the same conclusion. 1 John, it reads, we know that we are the children of God, that is, Christ followers, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. I'm not saying we're fighting against America, but we're fighting to free people in America from the grip of the devil, who has them and every nation of this world captive. This world, including our country, is temporarily under the rule of the devil because we rebelled against our Creator. It's our fault. It's our fault. We sinned and rebelled against our God. We gave the keys to Satan and said, here, you run the place. But Jesus came into enemy territory 2,000 years ago and began winning it back person by person, making a way for each one to come into his kingdom by his death on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for our rebellion, so that didn't have to stand in our way anymore. And he arose from the dead. That's the gospel message. And now in the Great Commission, Jesus sends us out We've been sent out for 2,000 years now to keep gaining people for Jesus' kingdom so that the world will become increasingly under Jesus' reign. And it has. For 2,000 years, Christianity has spread across the globe. It continues to spread. We're not just passing through until Jesus comes back and sets everything under his rule. We're to be doing the work now, bringing the world more and more under his reign. I don't mean land or territory. I mean people, making more citizens of heaven. This is beyond Democrat or Republican. It's universal. It's the citizens of heaven living as foreigners in this world to help more people migrate into Jesus' kingdom. Nobody can sneak into Jesus' kingdom, by the way. They have to come in through the gate. Jesus says he is the gate. He says he's the only way into the kingdom. Our job is to tell people that. How if they trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, they'll be forgiven of their sins and welcomed in as the people of God. A son and daughter of our Heavenly Father. Our job is to tell people how they can trust in Jesus as Lord. And as we welcome more people in, the enemy loses his grip on this country, on this world. As more people come into the kingdom, we're invading the enemy and taking it back. This mission also includes, the next thing you want to write down, it includes praying for salvation. Praying for salvation. For who? Well, let's look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We are to pray for our country. We need to pray deeply. We pray for our own repentance and forgiveness. We talked about that. We also need to pray for our country, for a spiritual awakening, for more people to come to Christ. We need to pray for everyone. This includes our president, that he would know Jesus, that he would follow his lead in his office, in his policies, in his personal life, even on Twitter. We need to pray for our governor. We need to pray that she would know Jesus, that she would follow his lead in her office as the governor of our state, in her policies, and also in her personal life. Pray that she would do that. Do the same all the way across. We're not fighting for laws that mandate Christianity. We're fighting for people to come to Christ and for that relationship to change them, to live for him. If we pray for these leaders, whoever wins the presidency next, we pray for him to follow Jesus, to know him and follow him no matter what is the opposition says. In his own party, in the media, in the other party, we pray that he would follow Jesus and that he would do what's best from his perspective. Pray for yourself too. Pray for all people, as Paul wrote. He said, pray for everybody. Pray that we would know God's will and follow it. And as we do so, that he would bless the work of our hands. That we would see America prosper. We would see good things happen in our country because we're following God. And he knows how it works best. He knows how this world works best. He made it. As we follow him, we'll see what's best for our country and the world. Finally, this mission includes living as a citizen of heaven. Living as a citizen of heaven. Our King Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon in history, when God visited this planet and preached a sermon. And here it is. He said, you are the salt, talking to his followers, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You see, as the salt of the world, Jesus is saying that we have a preserving quality in our culture as the people of God. Our active presence When we're living as God's people, as citizens of heaven, it helps to fight sin's moral decay in the world around us. And that's good for everybody as we do that. We need to stand for the things that Jesus says are right, not a political agenda, the things our King says are right. As citizens of heaven, we stand for the defenseless unborn. We do it because Jesus says it's right, not because it's a political talking point, a point of a party. No, we stand up for the defenseless unborn because that's what Jesus wants us to do. We stand against racism. Why? Because as citizens of heaven, for crying out loud, we're from every tribe, tongue, and nation. The citizens of heaven, racism should be eradicated among us. We show love and kindness and charity to those around us. We encourage others to do the same. As heaven citizens living in this country, we ought to be working for the well-being of our neighborhoods. At work, one example, we heard the Motor City Mitten Mission food drive that we're doing. Hey, bring stuff out for that next week. We're doing a collection. This is helping families in our community. And in this area, who are food insecure, that means they don't always have the budget to get good food for their families. This is a way we can help our community. When we do that, we're being the salt of the earth. Next month, we're going to be participating in Life Remodeled. We go down in the city and help do some light work down there and construction, show love, some beautification, this kind of thing. You'll hear more details starting next week. Sign up for that. Even if you got to take a day off of work, I'm really glad my kids are back in school, but I'm really thinking about just pulling them out for the day. I haven't talked about my wife. I just announced that up here without talking to my wife first. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I love my kids are back in school. I wish it was every day. It's just 2 days a week right now, physically. But to pull them out to serve for the betterment, the well-being of our neighborhoods and our city and our community, we need to work for that. Work for the well-being of our state, our country, the world. Take action. But we ought to be doing it in godly ways. Citizens of heaven are not rioters. We're not fire starters. We don't cause destruction. We don't spread hate for people or our country. No. You know what else citizens of heaven don't do? They don't post nasty memes online. I don't care if you think the point is righteous. We don't post nasty memes. We don't act nasty to people who see something differently than us. Even if we believe they're absolutely wrong, we don't behave in nasty ways. That's not how Jesus taught us to behave. Our King says to love our neighbor as ourselves. That includes those with whom we sharply disagree. It does. Now be confident, be bold, argue your view, your faith. Guys, I'm pro-life, pro-law, pro-religious freedom, pro-borders, pro-capitalism, pro-traditional marriage. There, it's on the record, it's online. Anybody can come after me for any of those things, all right? I do stand for those things, but here's the thing. I'm not here to put down people that disagree with me or argue with me. I like talking to people one-on-one about any of those things, all of those things. Why? Because we're supposed to win people over. We're supposed to share the truth and kindness and grace. That's what our King taught us to do. If a person won't be won over after talking with somebody and we still disagree, well, I keep loving and respecting that person. I keep praying for that person. But I don't post jabs online and stuff like that. That's not a citizen of heaven. We need to repent of that. King Jesus goes on to say, last scripture we'll look at here this morning, with me anyway. He says, you are the light of the world. Jesus said that about us. He's the light of the world, but he's given us his light. And he says, you're the light of the world. You share in that. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. And so Jesus says, you are that because he's made you that. Okay? But then he says this, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As salt, we have that preserving quality. As light, we have the ability to beat back the kingdom of darkness, to gain ground for Jesus' kingdom by sharing the gospel. Our primary goal is not the prosperity of America, but for all people to trust in Jesus and enter his kingdom. That's our primary goal here as foreigners in this world, as citizens of heaven. Do vote. do read up and talk about all the different other issues, but way more important than our political involvement is our spiritual involvement in people's lives. The byproduct of seeing Jesus' kingdom advance is that it will lead to a better America as more people follow Jesus and live for him. That will lead to the end of racism, the end of abortion, the end of terrible, wicked things in our country, because more and more people are following Jesus. It does become a better place with more Jesus followers, if we're really following them, not just in name only. And so we live out our allegiance to Jesus to best serve our country. We're going to have the band come up and lead us in one last song. I think that as they're coming up, I'm going to pray over the offering here. Maybe you've given online, or at the end of the service you could give in that orange bucket, as it said in the announcements. We'll pray over that here in a minute. But something else from the heart. This whole thing's from the heart. Even if it was pre-written this week, it's from the heart. It's from Scripture, the whole sermon. But one thing I was thinking about this morning as I was praying about this is I think Christians have become a lot more bold in the last few years. But we've become bold about speaking out about political things, and that's okay. That's good. That's good to speak out about political things. But have we become bold about sharing the gospel? Because if we're only bold about speaking about political issues, about Trump or Biden or Whitmer, do that. Do that. Share your views and try to convince people of godly things. But if you're only bold about that and you're not bold about Jesus, you're not bold about sharing about Jesus, well, then you're not expressing full allegiance to your king, because that's what he's told you to do. It's what he's told me to do. Check your own Twitter feed. Check your own Facebook. Check your own conversations with family and friends. Are you just hitting a political issue? Talking about masks, talking about shutdowns, talking about whatever. That's fine. But be talking about Jesus even more. Be sharing your faith, guys. Our allegiance to King Jesus is what's best for America. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, that even though we rebelled against you, we sinned. Began with our first parents in the Garden of Eden, and it continues in us today. We've sinned against you. You sent Jesus. Jesus came to save us, to bring us back. And now, as citizens of heaven, we get to enjoy favor with you, God. And when we stray, we get to turn back and be forgiven. What an awesome privilege. What an undeserved kindness you've given us. God, may we be wrapped up in sharing the gospel with other people. May that consume our lives. That we need to tell people about Jesus so that they will be saved. And we know that as this world increasingly comes under Jesus' reign, it will be a better place as people follow our Lord. We love you, God. Lord, as we give you these offerings through the week and here at the conclusion of the service, we pray you'd bless the offering, that you would use it to advance your kingdom far beyond these walls and even this community, but out to the whole world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.